Hi, my name is Kate. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from pride, control, and anxiety. Please pray with me. Lord, please use me and your story in my life to show your love and grace. Please calm my nerves, and if only one person hears my story, may they hear of your love for them. Before recovery, my life was a mess that I had created out of fear and desire to control how others saw me. I had a mental picture of who I was supposed to be, someone who had lots of friends, who was fit and successful in everything that I imagined I could do. I took this picture of what the world said was good, and I stuck that in my heart and mind and compared everything, especially myself, against it. And I found that I was lacking. This was the beginning of my need to control how others would see me or know about me. At age 7, I said the salvation prayer because I knew Jesus died on the cross for me and he was the only way to heaven. My dad even baptized me. I could answer all the right questions. I went to high school, a Christian high school and university where all my core subjects were infused with biblical truths. So if you were to ask me if I knew Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I would have said, yes, I know Jesus, I love him. But that is where it stopped. No relationship with him, just lots of head knowledge. All throughout my life, I found it incredibly difficult to fit in and have deep and authentic friendships and relationships. I felt like I was a misfit. Going through school, I switched friend groups frequently, trying to fit in with the in crowd, but quickly discovered that I did not. This rejection affected me greatly and trained my brain to believe that I was not worthy of meaningful relationships. I carried this into all of my interactions with others, especially my family. I felt and assumed that I was a disappointment. At some point in my young years, I found security in keeping things to myself, isolation to the T. I began building my wall, my protective wall. So when I felt angry, sad, lonely, confused, overwhelmed, bad about how I looked, even happy at times, I would open a book and get lost in it and drowned out the feelings that consumed my thoughts. I began reading romance novels, which is really just pornographic reading, while I also struggled with food and materialism. Finding solace and going to a fantasy land in books is where I did not have to deal with my pain or insecurity. More false comfort. This caused me to push away everyone, mostly my family, because I thought I didn't have it all together like them. I compared myself against everyone and everything and told myself that I didn't measure up. Specifically, I compared myself against my sisters. I didn't look like my sisters who were smaller. I couldn't make friends like them, be loving like them, and I wasn't funny or talented in sports like them. So I pushed everyone away. I pushed them away physically and emotionally. I remember distinctively a couple times my mom sitting on me for hours, begging for me to talk to her, to open up. Yes, I said sit on me. I would give her something so small that didn't even scratch the surface of how I was really feeling. But it was enough for her to hug me, tell me that she loved me, and finally leave me alone, alone to my fears, comparison, and self-hatred. The world said that I needed to have it all together, but my heart cried desperately, wanting someone to come and save me. Filled with hopelessness, I felt I had nothing. I continued to struggle with this for many years, superficially acting like I had it all together. Going into college didn't change anything. I made the decision to go away to school with the hopes that if I did, I would find myself, that I would figure it all out and finally have an identity. And I stayed away. I made friends with a few girls and started a relationship with guys that gave me the attention that I wanted. I thought that the physical, sexual attention and relationships with guys would be the way that I would feel loved and needed. But really, again, it was only superficial. It never fulfilled me. The world said it would. I rarely went home and called home even less. My dad would call occasionally to make sure that I was working and see if I had found a church. I would tell him that I was still looking. Really, I wasn't, because there was a church pretty much on every single corner in my small college town. At this time, I believed that knowing Jesus was having security and eternal salvation, Yes, I had that, check. I knew where I was going. He had saved me from my sins. I prayed the prayer. Now, there were small times of light where I went to the Lord, but really, I thought I could do this thing called life on my own. Kate, you're strong enough. You've made it this far. Man, did I believe the lies. From the age of 12 to 22, I let those lies of invalidation, fear, and insecurity, and unworthiness keep me hostage. And during that time, the only comfort, false comfort, was found in reading pornography. I justified my actions by saying that I wasn't watching anything, that I wasn't hurting anyone, and telling myself that they were only silly romance novels. But this sin had a hold on my heart. I thought about when I could read the next one, where I could read it, and fantasized that it was about me, and I was stuck in a dark hole. Coming home for 2 weeks one summer, I realized I had finally done it. I had pushed my family so far away that I didn't even know them anymore. My sisters were best friends. My mom and dad knew them so well. I didn't feel like I belonged or fit in, and I didn't like it. Deep down, I had hoped that my family would see past my facade. For the next couple of years, I worked hard to get to know them. I had to break down many walls, most of them mine, but lots of them theirs too, because my actions said that I didn't want to have them in my lives. Learning to communicate was one of the biggest obstacles. Recovery in Christ began with me being very resistant. After many excuses to my parents about why I couldn't go to church, whether it was time, needing to work to earn money, or it's not for me, I finally made it to the porch, Watermark's Young Adults Ministry. And then Sunday services, and finally a community group of other single women. I persisted in my normal behavior of trying to look for acceptance by others. But a thought dawned on me. Why not try to give this opportunity over to the Lord? So I gave it over to him, and he placed me in a community group that he used to encourage me to share and learn how to trust these women. I thought that I had grown past some of my comparison, especially comparing myself to my sisters, but envy and comparison reared its ugly head once more. This time, there was a guy involved. We were dating, but I realized that it was not going the way I planned. He wanted to be around my sisters more than me. He seemed to have more in common with them. I fought for the relationship. A couple months after it began, though, it ended. Yet, he didn't go far. In order to hang out with my sisters, he would ask to hang out with me. I knew that I would not move on from the relationship with him still in my life, the way things were going. So I asked my sisters to put some space between the family and him. They struggled to accept that. And in that moment, I felt like asking them to cut off their left hands. My heart was crushed. I felt defeated. I was more hurt by the fact that they were struggling to love me than the breakup. I walked through the doors of Watermark for Regeneration, even after telling my mom that this was not for me. God had to use my feelings and fear of rejection by my sisters to get me into the door. Walking in the door of Regen was something I never thought I would experience. I found the courage to walk down to the newcomer section afterward, hands shaking, armpits sweating. And then came the sharing part. Still shaking and armpits sweating, I wept as I told the details of the hurts caused by recent events. And then I came back the next week and kept on coming. Sitting in groundwork, inwardly feeling real, authentic, fearing real, authentic, and honest talk, I started sharing. This was hard for me because in my worldly focused mind, talking about hurts in the past wasn't going to solve anything. I was only complaining and venting about it. I thought talking about what brought me in the door wasn't going to make how I felt any better or change how I had been treated. But God was using the situation to bring me to him, to show me that the whole time that I was seeking for others to prove that I was valuable, I was holding the bar so low. God had such a bigger picture, and he loves me so much more than I can imagine. In groundwork, I began to trust God's love for me and I shared, and I began to trust others too. Admitting that I needed Jesus was simple. I was a mess and needed help beyond myself. I needed Jesus. I believed at an early age that Jesus and God were one, that in order for my sins to be forgiven and spend eternity with him, I had to believe that only Jesus' payment on the cross would save me from eternal separation. Fearfully, I was willing to accept that I was worthy to be loved, worthy to be known by the women in my open group, my step group, and my leaders, and first and foremost, Christ. My leaders modeled this so well in how they loved me and spoke into my life, showing me how to trust the Lord and others. I learned about the beauty of the Lord as I read the scripture on every page and saw that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and through the discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Through that, I learned the importance of reading his word, not just for study, but creating a new way of life. Coming into inventory, I feared having to go through all my past sins. In this, the Lord was faithful. I finished the inventory, shared it with two girls from my community group and a close friend and my mentor. But I didn't see any patterns in my behavior. Shortly before starting the steps, I met James, who challenged me to be fully authentic and candid. He thought that I wasn't being honest with what I was truly struggling with. So I went back to my inventory book and started searching for a pattern. And I found it, highlighting it every time I saw it. My idol was myself. I valued self-control, self-respect, self-protection, comfort, security, and self-worth. The list could go on and on. I was vain and selfish. This was eye-opening for me. I had such a skewed view of things and that, yes, others had hurt me in the past, but I let those hurts define me. God has already forgiven the sins of those who know and come to him, but my expectations were wrong, and I am not priority number one. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And for many years, this was my heart. I ignored and told myself that I wasn't doing anything wrong. It was everybody else, or I wasn't hurting anybody. I was only deceiving myself, resisting, pushing out, and rejecting what I truly wanted for fleeting pleasures or total numbness in place of the anguish that my loneliness had created. My walls and sin had barricaded me into the place where I didn't know who I was, and neither did anybody else. I took this new knowledge with me as I went through the rest of the steps, learning how to confess and repent and seeking to follow Christ. I was intentional in my journey of recovery and learned about confession and forgiveness and making amends to those who I had hurt. These were reminders that this process is not a one-step fix-all program like I thought at the beginning, but it had grown into something so much more. My relationship with Christ had been transformed. The Lord brought me to Regen because I had a life that was of the world, but now it is being made new daily. The last three steps tell me that I must daily go to God in my afflictions and struggles in order to experience freedom from the fear and bondage that once held me captive. My life is different now. I married the man that challenged me to go deeper. James is a man who loves the Lord first and foremost. The Lord brought into my life a man after his own heart, who pursues me beautifully, but only after he pursues Christ. James pushes me to go to God first in every circumstance and not seek to fill the holes in my heart with him or other worldly things that I find so easy to go back to. James is not perfect, and he will be the first one to say so, but he loves Jesus. Even before me, I never imagined that I would be married to such a loving and selfless and giving man. Thank you, love, for pointing me to Christ each and every day in so many ways.
While my husband is important, my life is different because of where I find my identity. I know that my identity is in Christ and how he died on the cross for my sins. My worth is not in the fact that I am a wife, a daughter, a sister, or even in my job. It is in Christ alone. I have not gone back to pornography in over 4 years. And when a new school year, well, really every Monday morning before I walk into the school, I start to feel anxious, I go straight to the Word and read scriptures like Psalms 34, 4 through 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. And I pray that I won't believe the lies of the devil. As 2 Corinthians 10:5 reminds me, to take every thought captive to obey Christ. In friendships, my perspective has changed as well. When my sister was going to college, she once told me that she prayed and prayed that the Lord would bring her a godly friend. I always thought that that was so amazing, her praying for a friend, something I had never done before. So while going through regeneration, I started to pray to God to bring me just one woman into my life that loved him too, the desire to grow in their relationship with Christ and would do life with me. The Lord has blessed me with many ladies that I can call friends, including my Regen accountability partner and co-leader, Bianca. Your patience and love for others is an example to me. Thank you for leading your daughter, women in our group, and me. You are a treasure to my heart. I have had the opportunity to lead with Bianca, 14 other women. I know that the Lord has used them to soften my heart, encourage me to be more loving, and to go to him for all my source of strength. Thank you, ladies. I am so thankful for y'all's faithfulness and desire to grow in Christ. What has been most influential goes back to step 10. Continue. Abiding in Christ daily, looking to Scripture for truth, and spending time with the Lord in prayer and in his word. I have started leading here in Regen, and the Lord has used this time to continue to show me what confession is, what forgiveness and amends look like when it is full of Christ's love. I have learned that forgiveness starts with me confessing that I have sinned, acknowledging that I have a part in the actions of my life and I have sinned too. And when I see that, I am now quicker to forgive those who have hurt me. Admitting that I too am a sinner is big. Making amends, admitting that I have hurt others, and seeking their forgiveness for my part has allowed relationships with people I love, like my parents, to be mended and reconciled. Though full of lots of tears, especially on my side, I know that I'm being obedient to my Jesus. The Lord has shown me much mercy. The Lord has shown me how to love others in ways that I didn't imagine, and the accountability that comes from leading others. I have learned how to check my heart and behavior as to make sure that my actions and words are for building up and that they are honoring to the Lord. Regeneration is hard. I'm not fixed because I finished. I still make mistakes and sin often, but I am quicker to confess and turn to the Lord and repent from my sins. I see the most growth in my prayer life and seeking truth in his word as I go to the Lord in times of struggle. Paul's account in 2 Corinthians 12 of the thorn in his side is a reminder to me that God puts adversity and times of weakness in my life to keep me coming back to him for all my needs. Verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I am no longer afraid to share what the Lord is doing in my life, how he has used regeneration and the people here to show me how powerful he is and how much he loves his children. I seek to be bolder in my faith and tell others about what he has shown me. If you have only heard one thing tonight, know that the Lord loves you, that it is not too late. There is absolutely nothing that you have done that he cannot redeem you from. He has paid the ultimate price and would pay it all over again. You already made the hardest choice, to come and admit that you need him. Thank you for allowing me to share tonight. My name is Kate, and I am a new creation in Christ, and I give God all the glory for my recovery from pride, control, and anxiety.